We're going to be in lesson number 5, and this is going to be found in Acts chapter 6. And we're going to meet the first deacons ever. All right, the first deacons of this early church, Acts chapter 6. But you can also give this lesson another title if you wanted to. And another title for this lesson could be The Growing Needs of a Growing Church. Really? Growing Needs of a Growing Church. And that's going to be one of our main themes this morning. As the early church grew, well, so did the needs. And that's to be expected. So, the first deacons, or the growing needs of a growing church, the introduction says, during these early years of the local church, there were some growing pains she had to go through. Isn't that true? Growing pains. As we grow, we face some difficulties. And it says, as the church grew and different needs arose, new offices and ministries were formed to help the church become more effective in accomplishing the work of the Lord. So different needs were arising as the church grew. That is always going to happen. Amen. As the church grows, well, there's going to be new needs. The more people, the more needs. Amen. Right? That's just that it comes with the package. You can't have one without the other. Amen. So when we pray for growth, which we do, and when we desire the church to grow, we also need to be prepared for that. And for now, there to be more needs, which means more ministries and more outreaches and more people working in the church. Because as the church grows, there's going to be more people, and with more people come more needs. So this is what is going on in the early church. So number one is the problem. Oh, every church has problems. We talked about that last time we were together. Every church has problems. There's never been a perfect church. But problems can be a good thing. That's what we want to see this morning. Not every problem needs to be a bad thing. All right. First of all, letter A. A growing church will have more problems to deal with. Absolutely, always. A growing church will have more problems to deal with. You see, the problem is in chapter 6, verse 1. This is the problem in chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there's the growth. The number of the disciples was multiplied. So the church is growing. We read in previous chapters, it wasn't just growing by tens and fifties. There were times where the church was growing by thousands. In the early church, on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 were saved. And then two chapters later, you see about 3,000 saved. I mean, this was the initial thrust of the church, leaps and bounds. So you went from, you know, small to large very quickly. So there was a growing church, but there was also growing needs. It says at the rest of the verse, there arose a murmuring. Oh, you mean there was, you know, there's complaining in the church? Well, sure there is. All right? There was murmuring in the church. Well, why isn't this being done? Right? Sure, everybody said that. Well, why isn't anybody doing this? Why isn't anybody doing that? And we look around, we see areas that need attention, don't we? I mean, if you walk around with eyes that are opened, and you're in the church faithfully, undoubtedly you're going to see things that need tending to. Amen. Well, this is the answer. If you see something that needs tending to and you notice, well, maybe God wants you to be the one to tend to it, right? Amen. You know, we're quick to say, why is it somebody else doing that? Well, maybe God wants you to do it. You noticed it, so maybe you should fix it. All right? That's true. So be careful. Well, why isn't anybody else doing this? Well, why aren't we doing it? Well, they noticed the problem. And here's the problem. There was a murmuring of the Grecians. So there were Greek believers. This was a multicultural church. You had the Hebrews and you had the Greeks, okay? Different nationalities. And that's the way God wants His church, by the way. God doesn't want His churches to just be one nationality. Okay? God wants it to be all together. Amen. Now, you know, sometimes these, you know, you have certain churches that just target one group of people. I don't think it should be that way. I think we should target all groups of people. We shouldn't just target one people group. Well, we're just gonna target Spanish people, or we're just gonna target Koreans, or we're just gonna target the Polish. How about target everybody? Isn't that what the Bible says to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm so thankful we have a multicultural church. I mean, just in this classroom right now, we have probably a dozen nations represented here. Seriously. If we all listed our nationalities, there'd probably be at least a dozen different nationalities in this room right now. I think that's the way God wants it. All right, Brother Tony.
My mom had a saying, the more colored fruit you have in a basket, the more appetizing it looks.
I like that. That's good. We got a lot of different fruits in our basket, amen? That's good. God delights in variety, doesn't He? All right, God delights in variety. And you know, of course, being in this area of North Jersey, we have that advantage because we're in a naturally multicultural area. So that's a consideration right there. Obviously, if you go to Africa and plant a church, well, you're going to have one group of people. If you go to Colombia and plant a church, you're going to have one group. We live in a multicultural area, so that's a blessing for us.
Amen.
This church had two main people groups. It had the Hebrews and the Greeks, okay? And the Greeks got a little upset because they felt like their widows were being neglected. See in verse 1. The Grecians were murmuring against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. They felt like they were being neglected. Okay? And you know, sometimes maybe there are those in the church that feel like they're being neglected, and that's never intentional. It's never intentional. But maybe sometimes there is something that needs attention. Maybe there is a new ministry that needs to be started to help a certain group in the church. That's fine. And if you feel like there's something on your heart about that, you need to approach the leaders of the church about it and let them know. Rather than just complaining about it all the time behind closed doors, make it known. Say, you know what, God's been touching my heart about this group in the church. Maybe it's a specific age group. Or maybe it's a specific, you have singles in the church, you have the married couples in the church, you have the older members of the church, you have the young members of the church, you have, you know, the children of the church. We have a great variety in this church, not just nationalities, but ages, all different, you know, again, we come from all different backgrounds, don't we? And you want every group to be having their needs met. Okay, and this is a group here, though. This isn't just a social club they wanted to start. That's not what this need was. This was a real need. This was a group of widows that were not having their needs met. And we're going to talk about certain needs that the church should meet, but if not, you know, the church isn't an organization to just give handouts either. We're going to see that in a moment. But letter B, listen, having more people in the church is a good problem to have, isn't it? That's a good problem. Having more people in the church is a good problem to have.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people get this idea, well, you know, we're just kind of comfortable with our group right now. We don't want any more. Well, having more is a good problem to have. Letter C, more people in the local church means more needs that need to be met. We mentioned that. More people, more needs. And letter D, people do come to church with legitimate, I use that word, legitimate needs, which we should provide for. Which we should provide for. We should help them. Now, we have, of course, in our church, certain guidelines. I mean, we are not obligated to just help anybody that walks in these doors and demands, you know. I mean, we've had folks walk in on a Wednesday night. We've never met the person before, ever. And, you know, this guy walks in on a Wednesday night and wants us to help him pay his medical bills. That's not our obligation, you understand? We help church members before we help somebody that we don't even know. I think we would all agree with that.
Amen.
And we have certain guidelines, okay? But some do have legitimate needs. Now, I've also had people ask me for money so they can go buy cigarettes. And they really expect the church to give them money so they can go out and buy their cigarettes. Well, that is that's unwise. We're not going to support their bad habits. So I use the word legitimate needs. Okay? When we give money to a family or to whatever, it's to meet legitimate needs, not so they can go and spend it on foolish things. All right? Now, letter E is what we're talking about. Letter E. Caring for widows without family is a biblical ministry of the local church. 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you turn there, actually talks about this ministry of the church. So, this is a real need. So when these Grecians were murmuring about their widows not being taken care of, they had a real legitimate concern. They weren't just asking for free handouts. They weren't just asking for some social club. No, they really had a good concern. 1 Timothy 5, if you start in verse 3, it says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed." Now what this means, the Bible's going to qualify. Not every widow is the church obligated to help. Verse 4, "If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." In other words, if she still has family members that can help her, well, that should be. You know, the family first will provide. All right? The family first. So, you know, that's the family's obligation first. But if she truly has no family, nobody at all that could possibly help her, well, then yes, that would be a situation. But again, it has to be somebody that's a church member. We don't just, you know, we're not going to put a sign on the front lawn saying, you know, "All widows come here for help." No, these are church members, okay? Because it talks about, it continues. If you go to verse number 9, "Let not a widow be taken in to the number under."